Welcome back to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're doing a Southern Italian sort of food, wine, and travel primer because we're both completely excited about
it. It was a great trip.
Having just traveled and taken some of our guys to see what's going on in a bunch of different regions.
And the weather was beautiful. We were very fortunate. We had perfect weather. So that makes such a difference when you're traveling, especially when you're driving as many kilometers, as you said, and going through the mountains. Oh, my goodness.
It's not too fun to have to try to keep a schedule driving through rain in the mountains.
The first 3 days, every day we saw a rainbow. I think the first day was a double rainbow. It was kind of a cool part of the trip. So Russo and Longo?
Well, Russo Longo is another, we neglected to mention, a really terrific producer, big commitment to quality, ones to look for on that Chiro area, and that, I guess it is the eastern coast of Calabria. And then one of the cooler drives that you can take is across Calabria, where you don't realize, I mean, if it was 29 degrees at the coast, Celsius, it was 14 degrees at height, 5,000 feet up.
It was fun to watch that temperature drop down.
The forest, and it looks almost alpine in the center of Calabria. And then you come down on the other side, and all of a sudden you're in a much warmer zone again, where the temperature's high, but the soils are totally different. And that same grape, Gallopo, is much more robust. It's much more dense. It's much more powerful. And it's not a different cultivar. It's not a different clone. It's the same grape in a little bit different soil and condition. And it really kind of proves with that short, not that short of a drive, it's an hour and a half drive, that, you know, same grape, been there 3,000 years. And, oh, by the way, it's entirely different.
Over here.
In this other piece of soil, because the exposure is different and the soils are different.
It was really different exposure.
We had a chance to visit with grower Odwardi. It's a hard one to spell. And we will put up all the growers' names that we're talking about on the Foreman & Wolf page on the WYPR website. Odwardi is a producer that the family's been there 500 years and has owned the same piece of ground and grown the same grapes. And I learned an interesting piece of vine history, which is that Syrah, that you think of in France, comes from Malioco, which is the other old grape of Calabria besides Gallopo. And Malioco is one of the two grapes that came out of Mesopotamia from the Phoenicians directly to that coast first. Wow. So when you drink a bottle of Hermitage, which is the wine that Thomas Jefferson was most excited about, you have a link back to Mesopotamia.
That's amazing.
Via Calabria, right?
So, very good.
Anyway, and that is an area, even though the red wines are huge, they make very good white wines as well, and big, spicy white wines, and amazing fish cooking, no? We had a ridiculous display at lunch.
The pasta, the last course, the pasta. The chef made it in parchment.
Have you ever seen anything like that?
No, I've never seen anybody make pasta in parchment like that. And the idea of him, pre-cooking it that little bit, but basically that the pasta really finishes in the parchment it was huge. It was there were seven of us.
It reminded me of when you talk about a one-pot dish for rice, it's getting all of the flavor. And I always, you heard me whine on and on and on about, for God's sake, when you cook pasta, dried pasta, semolina pasta, you have to take time with it, with whatever you're finishing it with the broth, to get flavor into the pasta. The point is not the garnish. The point is the pasta.
Right.
And this is the best example I've ever seen of that.
Yeah, had mussels, clams, calamari. I'm not sure if there's any. I think there was a little bit of fish in there, but the fumé, oh, my gosh, that occurs because of all that shellfish opening up in there.
It took this huge vessel, this huge vessel, and put a giant sheets of parchment in there, put the pasta and all of the seafood in there, and the juice from the seafood in there, and a little tomato and some chilies, and wrap the whole thing up in the paper. And so it's forced to steam together in the oven. And the flavor, because it's forced to happen this way, it's like when you cook fish in parchment. It's the flavor is super intense, and it all blends together in a beautiful way.
It was absolutely delicious and pretty darn amazing when the chef brought it out from the kitchen, this just gigantic display of pasta and parchment. It was with the seafood on top, just gorgeous.
Yeah, it's sort of like, and the shape that's to that area, it's spaghetti alla chitarra, but it's a bigger size. It's sort of like macaroni alla chitarra, which means a square cut. So it has there's a little inconsistency with the cooking temperature of the pasta, which is kind of nice. And it catches the broth in a different way.
Those super long pastas are amazing to me. I mean, I saw some in the airport of course, they have this amazing little grocery area, and they have pastas that are like 2 feet long. I'm like, this is beautiful. That was a great treat to eat there.
And from Calabria, we got to Sicily, and then I think the most remarkable things in Sicily, one, the beautiful town of Taormina, just the town itself, is incredibly pretty up there on the sea cliff. And you can look up and see Mount Etna. And tasting a lot of the beautiful wines from Etna in that area is a great treat. The grape producers in Rella Mascalese, like Piscio Pisciaro or Tenuta della Terre Nere, the farm of the black earth, literally, again, volcanic soil a couple thousand feet up. Things that are about the weight of Pinot Noir, but really you can taste that very special soil that they come from and the relationship of those vines adapted to that mountain for thousands of years. And so many of the vines are so old on there. There's a great soul in those things and great food flexibility in those wines as well. And then I know that every time I've driven across Sicily, I've been shocked because it looks like you're driving across the moon.
It really does. It's very dry and rough looking.
Yeah, it's entirely dry and desolate, but
very beautiful.
There's great drama to it. But the coasts are beautiful. And then here is this like, whoa. You know, it's the Badlands of Italy, essentially.
Yeah, again, you wonder how anything grows. So
and
it is that
smoke,
story.
And smoking hot in the center.
Yeah,
you know, parts of Sicily are further south than parts of Africa. And then you get to the west coast near Palermo. And we went to Palermo is definitely one of the trickier cities to navigate as far as driving goes. So beware if you're going to drive around Palermo. But super interesting. And in the middle of a residential neighborhood, is a remarkable little one-star Michelin restaurant with a female chef.
Yeah, Bye Bye Blues.
Which, with a not Sicilian name, Bye Bye Blues. completely hidden away in like a white house in the middle of this residential place.
Yeah, you have to be let in to get into the restaurant.
Super modern interior.
Very modern, yeah.
You know, with crazy, you know, with televisions you can watch to see what the cooks are doing.
Yeah, that was fun that you could see the kitchen from the dining room, but through the television. Yeah, the food was very fresh and sort of vibrant.
How many different raw fish did you get a chance to taste?
I think
there?
Like 12. I ate a lot of raw fish on this trip. It was really quite a treat. The seafood is just amazing.
And it's definitely the place to get that done. Mm-hmm. It's funny, the contrast still, we talked about regional Italy at the beginning of the program, the contrast from the food in the hills to the food at the coast.
Big difference.
Incredibly different. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter, modern transportation or anything else aside, people still embrace the tradition of where they are and what is immediately around them. Mm-hmm. And that is an exciting thing to feel in the culture on a constant basis. One of the cool things at Bye Bye Blues is that they had not only this giant Sicilian wine list to go with all of the cooking, but they also had a few real treats from around the rest of the country. There's a singular red wine from the Marche called Kurni, K-U-R-N-I. That I think for a lot of people, even though it was not a place we traveled to, that may have been, for a few people on the trip, their favorite or one of their favorite red wines, because it really, it's an elegant screamer.
Right. It was amazing.
It's singularly large and intense and detailed and super vibrant. And the wine manages to be enormous and balanced for food, which does not happen that often in the world. It's a wine that Tenuta de Due Angeli is the producer, which literally means the farm of the two angels. And I don't know whether they're being arrogant, but I think they might be that good.
The wine is spectacular.
Yeah, that 2008 vintage that we had at dinner that night was a stunner.
Yeah, I can remember that name quite well.
That's a pretty easy one.
And then we had you had lunch at Luigi Pomata.
Well, in Cagliari. And how did you... it was fun to see everyone excited to take the ferry boat ride from Palermo.
Oh, that was so cool.
From Palermo to Cagliari, no?
It was. And it was, again, it was a beautiful day. It was daytime. So we really got to enjoy the view. It was
Into Cagliari, yeah. Because it's an overnight ferry.
Oh, this is the overnight. That's right. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. So, yeah, the overnight was really, first of all, it was fun because you had your own little cabin. I was afraid what the shower would be like and what the beds would be like. It was just like little bunk beds stuck to the wall. It was like being on the train or something. And the shower was fine. It was cute.
A ferry boat
so
full of a lot of adults acting like a lot of kids.
Yeah, it was like an adventure. It was a blast. And the view coming in the morning was really spectacular. But, I mean, I got up a couple of times in the middle of the night and saw the moon shining on the water. Like, what? What what is happening? This is amazing. Yeah.
Ferry
this
boat from island to island. It's not crazy expensive to do that.
No, it was not. And a lot of people, I think, probably just kind of, hang out somewhere. Not everybody gets a room. You know, I don't know if some people stayed in their cars, but, you saw families kind of with blankets and things. So, I mean, you can kind of use it however you want to.
Very
but
fun.
It certainly was by no means fancy, but it was totally enjoyable and fun.
And once we got to Cagliari, we had lunch. We had had a restaurant recommended to us from Paola, who's a fantastic producer of Vermentino, to go to in Cagliari, a very old-fashioned neighborhood and a relatively modern restaurant called Luigi Pomata, which was a fun visit. We had a tasty menu that was set up for us with a lot of interesting things, especially strong seafood things that are specialties of that southern part of Sardinia. But that's a restaurant that's, when you look at the a la carte, I looked at the a la carte menu, and there's easy things and expensive things. There's wines by the glass that are €2. It's definitely a full range. That's an easy, like anyone who happens to go to Cagliari, who wants to be a food and wine geek on a trip and not spend a ton of money. That's like first on my list of, I would go there a bunch.
Yeah, he's a good chef.
And he's a good chef.
And he's very caring. And he's paying attention to absolutely everything that's going on in that restaurant. He's actually more out front than he is in the kitchen, but I think he's got an iron fist in the kitchen, so there's no worries coming. Yeah, his food was excellent.
No control issues, and his guys are on the run.
What was one of your favorite courses there?
I think the most memorable course, there was a tuna belly course that was super good, and it was just really super simple. I mean, it was just fantastic tuna belly with a strong sea salt, like crunchy sea salt on it. And served on a piece of driftwood, which was kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The course that, it's funny, sometimes you sit because you're sort of technical and analytical about these things. I sat and there's a course that sometimes you have a dish in a restaurant where you know it's the idea that's going to become an amazing course. And he had made a tuna tartare that had a sauce made from buffalo mozzarella, like a cold cream, it sounds slightly odd. There's real potential in that course, and there are a couple little tweaks that part of the fun of dining in a restaurant where someone's adventurous is even if they do something and it's not a total hit, if the products are excellent products and you can feel them connecting, it's fun to sit and imagine how they might, with a little bit of heat or this sauce is a little bit thinner or if it had this accent or this little lift, it might be completely successful in the way that this person's, the direction that they imagine it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, one of the great pleasures of dining in a place where someone's going to be adventurous but using good product.
Yeah. And you could almost see the sea from that restaurant when you were sitting outside. Pretty place.
Yeah, no question. I don't know that Cagliari is one of the cities that people think about when they talk about visiting all the Italian architectural capitals and whatnot, but it's definitely one of the most interesting. And it looks almost more like a Spanish city than it does like a lot of Italy, and that makes sense.
Yeah, we walked by some very beautiful architecture on the way to that restaurant.
That evening, we had a number of tastings and a great tasting at Paola, who is the easiest wine to spell from Sardinia, P-A-L-A.
Right.
and very good quality price ratio stuff for their entry-level whites and reds. The red Monica, spelled just like the woman's name, is terrific, easy, gutsy front porch wine. And their entry-level Vermentino as well. I mean, that's a little bit savory, great for food, but that's refreshing, plump, almost salty, grapefruity kind of white. And so we had a nice long drive through really beautiful country to Porto Cervo along the Costa Smeralda, really beautiful stretch of seacoast.
Again, just magnificently beautiful.
In northeast Sardinia. Yeah, that's not, you can't really overstate what a fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen.
It's not like a giant expanse. Each little cove is definitely its own little intimate place.
And the coastline is just rocky, and the water is as blue, and it's like 12 different shades of blue. It's just absolutely gorgeous. Really beautiful place to be.
We did dine in a restaurant there called Spinnaker, which, like, you're wondering, is this a tourist restaurant or something? It's a huge sailing destination. Mm-hmm. So Spinnaker doesn't translate into something different in Italian.
Yeah, there was a major sailboat race the next day, so it certainly is a sailboat destination.
We had crazy good fresh seafood at the meal that night. And we had a huge plate of crudi, again, the raw everything. And the raw scampi, literally the kind of, like I guess the langostino is what the Spaniards called them, langostino, the French called them, the nicest I've ever had. And I've had an awful lot of raw seafood in a bunch of places. And that was remarkable. the pasta that was made, they had wood-grilled aragosta, which are the spiny lobsters in the Mediterranean, and cracked them and finished the pasta with tomato and chilies and big chunks of the lobster in its shell, which was crazy great.
Sounds fantastic, yeah.
When something has that much flavor on seafood, you can drink red wines as long as it's not too tannic. No problem with it. And we had really good Cananao, which is – Cananao is the name for the most important age-worthy grape that's native to Sardinia. And Cananao is known usually as Grenache in France or Garnacha in Spain. But the funny thing is, a little bit like Mallorca traveling up to France to become Syrah in name, Cananao is what traveled from Sardinia to Spain and to France as well. Because, again, the Phoenicians came there first. So it's about 400 years longer on that island than it is on the mainland.
It was a good dinner.
So, and then the tasting, the for me, my favorite tasting I've ever had by far in Sardinia or in Sicily was the Tori. One of the guys, when I think of someone who's a complete master of place and grapes, this is one of those guys. And I sort of jokingly refer to them as wizards. because this guy might actually be, because
right.
he was explaining to me that he does exactly what his grandfather's great-grandfather did. He has gone back to that methodology, which means no sulfur in the barrels, which means literally no preservatives. There's no chemicals in the vineyard at all, and there have never been. So you're talking about, you know, ground that is essentially farmed the way that it was when our country was founded.
That's unusual.
And the wines are what the wines are, and he makes no apologies for them, and they're enormously ripe and rich and intense. And the alcohols are high, and you have no idea that the alcohols are high. If they're in the middle of nowhere in a beautiful place on the north coast of Sardinia, it's about an hour and a half drive of very tricky roads from Costa Smeralda. I will absolutely go back there, and I will absolutely sleep there. They have two rooms.
Oh, that's great.
And a little restaurant that's a terrific little restaurant. They have two rooms, and I will sleep there because I will drink all the wine I possibly can when I go back there because it's being made by a wizard.
There you go. That's a good end to the trip, to have such an amazing tasting
absolutely.
With him. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for listening to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.